Can you all hear me? Amen. How many know he's made a way out of no way? How many of you have a testimony of seeing him make a way out of no way? Anybody have that testimony? Amen. Have seen him to be good, that he's a good God? Oh, hold on. We're going to just... I know it's November the 21st, and it's a little chilly outside. Amen. But this, he's been too good than that. Amen. He's been better than that. Amen. I'm going to ask, how many of y'all have a testimony of showing himself to be good in your life? At home, too, if you have that testimony, even when I'm not good, he's been so good. Amen. We thank him and we give him glory and honor and praise today. Aren't you glad that he is your everything? He's my everything. You're my peace. Oh, how many need that today? That my peace is not found in things. It's not found in another person. But it's found in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That he is my peace. So I can have peace when my world falls to pieces. Because I put my trust in him. Anybody glad for that today? I don't know about y'all, but I know I need that this morning. I know some of y'all need that because it's been a hard season. It's been a rough season. But we have to put our trust and continue to remember that in the midst of the rough season, that God remains faithful. Amen? And that he's working out something. He promises. I'm so glad that he's a promise-keeping God. Song says he's a waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Anybody been in the darkness in this season and have found him to be a light in the middle of your darkness? Found him to be a waymaker when there was no way that you could see it. Found him to be a miracle worker. I'm so glad that he's a miracle working God. Amen. And he's looking forward. He's not only a miracle working God, he's a God who delights in showing miracles. He delights in manifesting his power. Amen? But he's waiting for you to trust him. He's waiting for you to trust him. So I know, I believe that in this season, whether you're home or in here, sometimes God puts you in a rough season so that we can lean on him. Anybody been able to lean into his everlasting arms this year, last year, and these days that we've been in? Amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. Happy November the 21st. It's a beautiful day. Amen. It's a special, special day for me. My lovely bride, she'll be here momentarily, but today is her 50th birthday. Amen. Somebody say, oh, you told her age. When you look that good, you don't mind nobody telling you how old you are. Amen. Yesterday, I'm just going to tell, she came home. She went out. She got her hair done. You know, she always keeps herself together. She had her hair done, and she came and lashes on. I mean, fleek. She came in, I said, oh, girl, it's the lashes for me this morning. The kids saw her and said, oh, mommy, wow. Now, she always looked good, but she just really spruced it up an extra. So today, we praise God, we get to celebrate her in this season. I just thought it was fitting. Y'all know last week was a hard week. We celebrated the homegoing of her mom, and she thought about not doing it, but we know that her mother would have wanted nothing other than her to be celebrated today. So I just wanted to say to her as she's listening that, honey, we celebrate you and happy 50th birthday. Amen? Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. Before I get ahead of myself, I want to say to those of you who are here, if you're a guest, welcome to Encounter Life Church. If you're at home, welcome to Encounter Life Church. We're glad that you chose to join us in however form you joined us, in the building or at home. I'm so glad that we can have it in two places. Amen? God is expanding the church. And if this is your first time here joining us, look, I just want you, if you're watching online through the website, put it in the chat. Look, I'm new. I'm new here. Or if you're watching on YouTube, put it in the chat that I'm new here. If you're watching on Facebook, put it in the chat that I'm new here. And also, I'd love for you, so we can connect with you, just go to our website, encounterchurch.net/next, and fill out our connection form. Now, for those of you who are here, if you're a guest in the building, if you're a guest in the building, we want to know about that, too, because we got gifts for our guests. Amen? We have a gift for those of you who came out today. So if we have any guests today, please, we have a connection form as well. We want to fill that out. And make sure you fill out your connection card if you have not gotten one. We'll make sure that the brothers make sure we get out all of the connection cards to you. Fill it out and say, look, I got a connection card. I'm a guest, and I want you to see Sister Patricia Smith. Sister Pat, could you raise your hand? This sister right here, Pat Smith, she's got a gift for you. Amen? Amen. Can we give our guests a round of applause, whether at home or here in the building today? Praise God. Praise God. I said this is a time for us to be thankful. Next week, next Thursday, is Thanksgiving, and we have a lot to be thankful for. But sometimes, you know, the holiday season, we have a lot to be thankful for, but sometimes this season is really a hard season for a lot of people as well. And especially in this country, we have so much abundance. We have so many things that when we get a little adversity, you know, we can get kind of lose sight of how blessed we are. How many know that Americans are not used to us? Some of us ain't used to that type of adversity that most of the world is experiencing. And so when 2020 and 2021 and all this came and we had COVID, we had all this, boy, it kind of rocked our world. And there's some people in some countries that look at us and like, man, this is our everyday. And so when we face a little adversity, it can kind of cause us to lose sight of how blessed we are. And today, you might be here, you might be going through some things. I don't know everything that everybody's going through, but all I know that I've been going through some stuff. And I know if I've been going through it, then you've been going through it. And sometimes the enemy would like to get us distracted and make it hard for us to be thankful. We can complain. I know if you've got children or grandchildren, you know what complaining sounds like. Anybody got kids or grandkids? Children, God love them. I love my children. But y'all know how ungrateful and unthankful they can be. I mean, you can be out to eat. I got kids. We can be out to eat, getting them something, and if they don't get exactly what you want, you mad. I want a frosted lemonade. No, we're going to get you a regular lemonade. I don't want anything. What? I'm just talking about my kids. And sometimes, listen, we look at kids and we can see how ungrateful they are, but I wonder how God looks at us sometimes. When he, in light of how much he has blessed us and he's given us, and how sometimes we can lose sight of how blessed we are and become so ungrateful and unthankful. How many of us have ever seen it in our lives that something that we prayed for, that God provided, and when we got it, we got so used to it, then we start complaining what we asked God for in the first place? We can be unthankful. This morning we're going to start these last couple of weeks in November talking about how to be thankful, how to foster an attitude of gratitude. Is that okay? Amen. Can we pray together? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come, Lord God, and share your word and receive your word and hear your word. But Lord, more importantly, Lord, we want to apply your word. Help us, Lord, having heard it, that it doesn't just become more information on a page, more notes that we've taken on a different Sunday. But Lord God, that it leads to a transformation, that we truly have an encounter with you. Show us your face today, but not only show us your face, show us who we are and the areas that you want to change. I pray that for those in the building, those at home. I pray for those who are sick, those who are going through things in their lives right now. Lord, I ask for healing. Lord, I ask for deliverance. I ask, Lord God, for breakthrough for those, Lord, whether here or at home. And I thank you for how good you have been to us, even in the midst of drama. I thank you for my lovely wife today and her celebrating her birthday. I pray that, Lord, you will surround her with your loving arms and let her know how special she is to all of us. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, if you can't see the screens, I'm going to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Should pop up on the screens here on either side. And at home, you should hopefully be able to see it on your screen as well. But we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at about five verses, Philippians 4, 4 through 8, and maybe a couple of more, but Philippians 4, 4 through 8. And this morning as I was preparing, I was just looking at this article that was written back in 2019, and it was talking about stress. And that's why that song that you all sang this morning, Everything, You're Everything to Me, You're My Peace. And I was so excited that Andrew just stayed on You're My Peace. And he didn't know this kind of where we were going, but But that you're my peace, that really, I want that really to get into our hearts and our minds and our spirit, because we got to find our peace in him, because Lord knows we live in some stressful times. As I was looking at it, we're right here, November 21st. I was looking at this article that I saw from 2019, and then something I saw a while back called the Home Stress Scale. And what the Home Stress Scale does, it lists 100 most stressful events and issues that you can have in life. And some of those include the death of a spouse or a loved one, divorce, financial issues. Those are things that are listed on there. But one of the things that came out of this, in this study that in this article I saw in 2019, was that when they took a survey of Americans, and of the Americans surveyed, 88% of the respondents believe that the holidays are the most stressful time of year. The time where everybody's celebrating, putting up Christmas lights. Last night I was at my brother and sister-in-law's house. We had to go pick up something, and my brother-in-law got the 2 Christmas trees up already. I mean, he's ready. He's decorated. He got the lights in the yard. He's ready for the time, boom, to put them lights on. A lot of people are celebrating. They're decorating. They're thinking of holiday season, and it's a time where really we should be turning our minds towards the most enjoyable, the most pleasant idea that we could have is the birth of the Christ child, the one who came to save us. But in actuality, it says from November to January, for most people, is the most stressful time of year. And it actually said 84% of people said that November, the majority of the group said their stress peaks in late November. Right around this time is when most people say, this is the most stressful time of year for me, for whatever reason. It could be, look, people are buying gifts and I have no money. Right now we're in we've been in a pandemic. Some people have lost jobs. Some people can say, look, my money is not right. It ain't like it used to be. So that's stressful. It could be like, for example, in our house, the loss of a loved one. The holiday season, sometimes people remember loved ones during this time, and it can be a stressful time. And sometimes, instead of us being thankful, we can get to moping around this season. Anybody know that's the truth? And there might be somebody today who's in here or at home who's in that stage. You feel it. Sometimes it's not even a thing you can control. It's almost like it comes over you. You can feel it coming. November hits, and this is like this tension, this weight that comes on you. And I'm encouraging today that God will want you to be thankful, and that being thankful and grateful is a learned behavior. It's not something that comes automatic. Being thankful and grateful is something that you got to train yourself to be. Amen? So right now, naturally, you might feel stressed. God wants you today to give us some tools, some ways that we can train ourselves toward gratitude, to have an attitude of gratitude and how to be thankful. And we're going to look and we're going to find that out today in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. NIV. I'm reading the NIV this morning. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. May God add blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. In this short passage, we find 5 steps to living a life of thanksgiving. 5 steps that we're going to look at to living a life of thanksgiving. Step number 1 is found right here in verse 4 and 5. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Step 1 to living a life of thanksgiving, how to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, how to be thankful. Step 1 is to rejoice in one thing. Rejoice in one thing. What does the verse say? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Emphasis, he says, just in case you didn't hear me, I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. I love this. The Lord is near. He said, in order for you to be thankful, you got to rejoice in one thing. In other words, have your joy rooted in one thing. Today, the only way you can be thankful, to truly be thankful, even in the midst of rough circumstances, is have your joy rooted in one thing. What does he say? Rejoice in the Lord. See, why joy and happiness are different. See, joy is rooted in somebody. It's rooted in something deeper from the inside. Comes more from the inside. Happiness comes from the outside. Happiness is circumstantial. It's based on what is happening in your life. Joy is not based on what's happening in your life. It's something internal. It's got to be rooted and steeped in something bigger than something going on in the outside. And so what happens this morning, if you want to be thankful, how to be thankful in any circumstance, if you look at this passage later on in verse 10, he said, I've learned how to be content in every circumstance. How? Because I found my joy is rooted and steeped in one thing. Rejoice in what? The Lord always. And I find it interesting. This is a man who's writing and telling people to rejoice while he's in prison. Y'all know while he's writing to you, he's incarcerated. He's a prisoner. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Today, if you're watching me in here, out there, I'm here to tell you, have your joy steeped and rooted and grounded in one thing, and that's in Jesus Christ. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. I love it. He said, I'll say it again, rejoice. And let your graciousness or your gentleness be evident to all. In the last phrase, he says, why? The Lord is near. Why can I rejoice in that? Because he's always near. He said, the Lord is near. We can look at that in two ways. The Lord is near. His second coming is near, or this is imminent. Or I can look at it, he's the Lord is near. He's omnipresent. See, I can look at it in two ways, and both of them are true. He, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's on his way. Nothing else has to happen for Jesus Christ to come. And do you know we can take joy in that? Last week, we celebrated. We had a joyous time as we celebrated my mother-in-law going home. Why? Because she knows now better than any of us that the Lord is near. That his coming is imminent. It's either him coming to us or us going to him. But I'm here to tell you, not only like that, he's near you even moment by moment. He promises never to leave you, never to forsake you. So no matter what drama is going on in your life, rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because he's near you. And why is it good that he's near you? Because he, listen, when the God of the universe, who never slumbers or sleeps, says he's near. The one who spoke everything out of nothing said he's near. The one who's promised never to leave you says he's near. The one who promised that nothing can separate you from his love says he's near. You ought to rejoice in that. When he's near me, boy, I can get excited because in the midst of my problems, listen, he's the one who said, listen, he's my shelter. The Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of me. He's my protector. He is my son and my shield. He's near me. When I know he's near me, no matter what happens, that's why Job can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job even something, do you know what? Why you got to remind yourself? Because sometimes you may not feel the Lord is near. Your circumstance in life might feel like he's not near you. Job said, I got circumstances in my life. My children are gone. All my land, my property is gone. My health is gone. My wife done gone crazy. And he said, Lord, I looked for you in the east. I didn't see you. West, I didn't see you. But one thing I know, you know the way I take. And when you try me, I'll come forth as gold. I may not see you, but I know you see me. And I know you promised never to leave me. So what you need to do today, step number one, if you want to be thankful in any season, rejoice in one thing, and that is in the Lord. Rejoice in the fact that he's near you. And that he's promised never, ever to leave you. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that, church. Because the devil, listen, what he is, he's a deceiver. And he wants to make you think that God ain't there. And if he can make you think that God ain't there, then you can start acting like he ain't. Because the devil has to resort to deceptive tactics. The devil and God are not equal. The devil is not the antithesis of God. He's a created being. And all he does, he tries to deceive you. He tries to mimic what God does, but he can't do it. So what he tries to deceive you, make you think that God don't care about you. He's not with you. If God was here, why would all this be going on? I'm here to tell you, find your joy and not the circumstances. Find your joy in a person, that is Jesus Christ, the God-man, to know that he never leaves you nor forsake you. Step one for you to be thankful is whether you got to rejoice in how many things? One thing. Let it be rooted in one thing, and that is in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today, it's hard for you to be thankful in any season. It's hard for you to remain joyful if you don't have your joy steeped in the right thing. Today, if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I encourage you, come to know him today. And why can I be joyful? Because he promises to forgive me of all my sins. He promises to love me unconditionally. Isn't that some good stuff? Rejoice in one thing, but number two, you know what the other thing, how to be thankful. Not only do you need to rejoice in one thing, number two, you need to worry about nothing. Worry about nothing. Look at it. It's right here in the text, verse 6. Don't worry, the New Revised Standard says, don't worry about anything. And some in the NIV says, don't be anxious about anything. Worry about what? Nothing. I don't know about y'all, but worrying is almost like a reflex. And God is calling us in his word. He said, listen, rejoice in one thing, worry about nothing. There's so much that goes on all around us, and we can internalize that and begin to worry. Man, something that Dr. Walter Calvert, he had this facts about worry that I want to read to you. And thing about worry is worry, and when you start worrying, it causes you to fear. And when I start being fearful, then I'm not trusting God. See, worry, he says, worry about nothing. You know what? When they looked at worry, when you look at people worry about, the things that people worry about, can I give you some numbers? The things that people worry about, let me share with you some facts. 40% of the things that you and I worry about never even happen. That's what the study showed. 40% of the things we worry about never even happen. That's almost half. That should cause us some peace right there. So that means I stay up at night and getting stressed out about 40% of the things will never happen. So on my list of 10 worries, 4 of them, you can kick them out. Kick them out. Not only that, 30% of the things that people worry about, you know what, are concerns about the past. We're at 70%, y'all. 40% of the things we worry about never happen. 30% of the things we worry about are things that happened yesterday. And what can you do about yesterday? Nothing. We can't do nothing about the future. We can't do nothing about the past. We got to live right here in the present. And we worry about things that may never happen, 40%. 30%, we worry about things that happened yesterday we can't control. 70% of our worries are things that we ought to just kick out, the thing we have nothing, we can't do anything about. Worry cannot change the past, and worry can't control the future. All it does is mess up your present. And now if we got 70% of the things that we actually worry about are things we could throw in the trash. So what about that other 30%? Can I tell you what the other 30% come from? 12% of your worries are needless health concerns, things about our health concerns. 10% of your worries are insignificant and petty issues, issues that if you just ignore it, it'd probably go away anyway. And only 8% of your worries, they found out, only 8% of the things that we actually worry about are actual legitimate concerns. 92% of the things that cause us stress and anxiety are things that ain't worth 2 cents. 8%. 8% are legitimate concerns. Do you know how much time that would give you back? Do you know how much freedom that would give you back if I can get that in my mindset? And say, look, that 8%, I'm just going to devote me 1 hour to focusing on that 8%. After that, I'm going to kick it aside. 8%, I'm going to get my life back. 8%, these 8 legitimate issues, I'm going to focus, I'm going to give myself a certain amount of time that I deal with these issues that I got to focus on. They're legitimate worries, they're legitimate concerns that I got to address. I focus on it for that period of time, and after that, I let it go. Then it will stop controlling you. All the other things, you know what you got to do? Give it to the Lord. He said, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Give it all to God. Matthew chapter 6. I love Matthew chapter 6, one of my favorite passages. Matthew 6:34 says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Stop worrying about tomorrow. All you can do is what is right in front of you. You know, I gave the illustration. A lot of us drive. You know, when you're driving, when you're going forward, if you ever, we're talking about tomorrow and yesterday, if you ever try to get to a destination by looking in your rearview mirror, you're going to crash. Amen? If I'm trying to drive and looking in the rearview mirror, I'm going to crash. I'm looking at what was behind me, and then, listen, I'm not seeing what's right there in front of me. All I can deal with is right in front of me. And if I look too far down the road, I'm going to crash too. What is right there am I dealing with that I got to focus on today? Today, now listen, if you want to be thankful, how do I be thankful? Number one, I rejoice in one thing. What is that? I rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is near. Step number two, worry about how many things? Nothing. Worry about nothing. We ought to be a carefree people. Not that we don't care. We ought to live because we give it all to the Lord. Because God is, if I'm worrying about it, listen, I love that song, that old song, work it out. Why are you trying to figure it out? Because he's already worked it out. I got to give it to God. He said, listen, rejoice in one thing, worry about nothing, but the third step is right here in the passage, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Now, does that say big things? Everything. See, I told you, it's that 92% of the stuff we worry about, stuff we can't deal about. Go ahead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. He doesn't say just pray about the 8%. Even pray about the 92%. Get it off your plate, give it to God. Because you can't do nothing about it in the first place. He says, pray about everything. That's it, verse 6 again. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. Listen, God is calling you. Look, if we prayed as much as we worried, we have a whole lot of less stress. Amen? God convicted me about that. Dwayne, whenever you start stressing, start praying. Start praying. How many got a testimony when you've tried it and it made a whole difference in your outlook? And you'll make better decisions because when you focus on the problem and you get stressed, you start making moves. Instead of me going to my knees and God, I'm going to give it to you, he gives you rest. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Wait on him. Pray about some things, everything. I know sometimes we pray about the big things. God is concerned about, you know, God is concerned about every detail of your life. That's why we go back to the first thing. Because he is near, I need to talk to him about all of it. See, praying reminds me that God is near me, that he's close to me. And one of the things that God has convicted me about in prayer is a lot of times I think of prayer. My prayer time in the morning, I get up and, okay, I'm going to get on my knees and pray. And when we pray, when we have our food. But you know what? God wants me to practice the presence of God. I want to get to the point where I'm praying while I'm walking. I'm praying when I'm in the store. I'm praying when I'm driving. You know, it's just a moment by moment. You know, when your spouse, you don't just say, okay, we talk this morning. We're going to talk in the evening. And we're going to talk before we go to bed. No, it's just like throughout the day. In a minute, I might call, oh, guess what? I just saw this on, I was at work. Guess what? So this just happened at work. I pick up the phone. What is it? Oh, man, what y'all doing? Why? I'm having a conversation with her, with my wife. I love her. I have a relationship. We have a conversation. We need to get into the point. This is have a conversation, a conversational relationship with God. Pray about everything. Begin when it pops in my mind, God, boom, just talk to him about it. I love when you see the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, one of my favorite examples of how I want to get with God. when Nehemiah came to the king and he was asking the king for permission to go rebuild his city, go rebuild Jerusalem, Nehemiah came to the king and it said while he was in front of the king, he said a prayer to God. Like the king is right in front of him, like, what do you want, Nehemiah? Nehemiah prays, meaning he just shot a prayer up in his mind to God while he getting ready to talk to the king. I want to get like that, where I'm just be spitting prayers out as I'm going along. I'm working. Lord, I'm working. I'm doing, seeing the patient. God, what do I need to do with this individual? Don't worry about anything. When, as soon as you feel that tension in your neck, that worry coming up, go to God with it. Can I tell y'all, I'm talking to y'all as a patient, not as the doctor. Because I need to do that myself. Because I'm being honest. People will tell you, sometimes I'll be quick to worry. I get concerned. Oh, man, what are we going to do about this, that, and the other thing? Just pray, boy. The Lord is near. He's near and his ear is turned toward me because I'm his child. Said what he said, listen, rejoice in one thing, worry about nothing, but pray about everything. Listen, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. The Living Bible says it like this. Let him have all your worries and cares, for he's always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Isn't that awesome? He said, some of your Bibles said, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Living Bible says, get him to have all your worries and cares, for he's always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns about you. Isn't that good to know that the God of the universe has always got you on his mind? That is awesome to know. Rejoice in one thing. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And number four, step four to being thankful. Step four, thank God in all things. Thank God in all things. Notice I didn't say thank God for all things. Thank God in all things. Do y'all know what the healthiest emotion is? It's not love. It's gratitude. They've shown that gratitude is the healthiest emotion. It can actually increase your immune response and make you healthier. People who have an attitude of gratitude, thankful people are healthier people. God said, look, thank God in all things. Again, I said, didn't say for all things. Am I thankful for the sickness? Am I thankful for that loved one who lost their life? Am I thankful for losing my job? Not necessarily thankful for that event, but I'm thankful in it. Because God can use it to work out something for his glory. So that's different. See, a lot of times that's what people, they have this idea about God. If God is so good, how could he let this happen? How could he let that happen? Yes, he's good. And so how can you be thankful? No, we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. A fallen world is full of sin. So you're going to have death. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have violence. You're going to have all kind of crazy things. We're not thankful for those things happening. But in the midst of them, I can be thankful in them because God can use them to draw me to him. He can use him for his glory. You know what God used? Listen, the hand of the king is in the heart of the Lord. God can use anything that he wants to for his own glory. God told Cyrus, he told, listen, you are just a pawn in my plan. I'm trying to do something with my people. I can use whatever I want to. It might not be a good thing that we look at, but God said, listen, I want you to thank me in it all. Why can I thank him in it all? Because he already promises that he works all things for my good. That's good things and bad things. That verse doesn't say all things are good. He says he works all things for my good, the good things and the bad things. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in what? All circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God wants us to get to the point to thank him. Why can't I thank God in all circumstances? Why can't I be thankful? I can thank God in all circumstances, number one, because I know he has a purpose that is bigger than my problem. God has a purpose that is bigger than my problem. Do you believe that God said, listen, he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth and he sees all of it. See, he sees the whole puzzle. All we can see is the piece. He sees all of it. And he said, listen, I got something bigger. You stop focusing on the piece. All you're focusing on is your one little piece. Your one little piece, you don't even know. I'm sitting above and I see the whole thing. that I got, you are a piece that fits into my grand picture. He's got purpose in your problems. He's got purpose in your pain. I can give thanks to God not only that, because, listen, not only does he have purpose in my problems, but guess what? Then I love Paul says, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. What does it show me? His power. Listen, his power, well, he'll give me the power to overcome the problem. His power is manifested in our problems. Paul said he gave me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to keep me near to God so he can manifest his power. Do you know that God will give you power to overcome problems? I can be thankful because now what happens is when he does it, I know it wasn't me. And not only do I know it wasn't me, everybody else around me know it wasn't me. I just kind of think about the disciples. Disciples that said, listen, when the people saw the disciples at the Pentecost, they saw the disciples and they said, these are some unlearned dudes. These are some dudes that are walking around here, and it must be all our only difference is they've been with Jesus. They're healing people. They're speaking in tongues and people are hearing that gospel in their own language. What is going on? It must be they got power. Where did this power come from? God told them in Acts 1, well, listen, that you will receive power when my spirit comes upon you. And so that God puts a situation in your life. Sometimes he allows problems and pain and situations so that he can empower you to overcome the problem so people can see him in you. The reason why I can be thankful is because I know he has a purpose that's bigger than my problem, because he'll give me the power to overcome my problem. But thirdly, listen, I can be thankful because since I got to go through it, I might as well grow through it. See, listen, what it is what God will do, he will allow problems into your life to grow you up. But you got to allow them to grow you up. See, sometimes there are some people, and that determines a lot of times how long the problem stays around. See, I have a decision that I need to make. I can choose to grow through it, or I can keep going through it. But since I got to go through it, I might as well grow through it. My question today is, whatever the situation that is uncomfortable, the painful situation, the problem that he's allowing you in, are you growing? Are you growing in it? The only way you can grow is through tension. I mean, if there's no pressure, you can't get a diamond. If in the words of those of us who like to exercise, you got to put some weight underneath you in order for your muscles to grow. Amen. You keep lifting that 25 pounds over and over again 10 times, then muscles are going to stop growing. You got to add another 25, 45 on there. And then when you get used to that, James, you know what I'm talking about. He likes to work out. Said, listen, when you get used to that weight, then you got to add some what? More weight. When your life, God will allow more problems to come into you. Why? Because, well, he wants you to grow. He wants to manifest your power, his power. Amen? So what God said, listen, if you want to be thankful, how to be thankful? Number one, rejoice in one thing. Rejoice in one thing. Number two, worry about nothing. Number three, pray about everything. Number four, thank God in all things. And step five, think about the right things. Think about the right things. Look at verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you want to live a life of thanksgiving, you got to change the way you think. Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Today, if you want to change your life, you want to change your world, you need to change your thinking. You got to get rid of the stinking thinking. Listen, I loved it. It used to be when I was younger, there was this little song. I don't know if it was Schoolhouse Rock. I don't know what it was. He said, you are what you eat from your head down to your feet. Anybody remember that? I don't know what it was. It was a commercial or something. You are what you eat from your head down to your feet. Now, that's true with what we eat in our bodies, but that's also true with what we feed our mind. You are what you eat. My question is, what are you feeding your mind? If you want to be thankful, it's hard to be thankful if all I watch is the news. It's hard to be thankful if I get sucked into social media all day. It's hard to be thankful if all I'm looking through is everybody's timeline and not even focusing on what God has called me to, which is whatever things are lovely. What other things are true? Listen, and it's so incredible when you look at these things right here. Man, it sounds just like the law of the Lord is perfect. You go in the book of Psalms and look at Psalms 19 and then Psalms 119, and you look at what he says about the word of God. God said, listen, if you want to be thankful, you got to think about the right stuff. What do you put your mind on most? As a man thinketh, so is he. Listen, I heard one person say, your problem is not necessarily your problem. It's how you think about your problem, how you choose to respond to your problem. That's your problem. And how you respond to your problem is determined by what you put in your mind. Today, if we want to be thankful people, we gotta look on whatsoever things are what? True. Whatever things are noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. We ought to meditate on those things. And all those things describe the word of God. So this morning, I mean today, what I'm encouraging you to do, listen, you need to begin to feast on the word of God. You know what? I'm telling you, a lot of people, I say, listen, glance at your problems and gaze on God and his word. Because you know what? You grow in the direction of your gaze. The things that you gaze upon, the things that you think about, that's the direction that you grow in. And if you don't like the direction of your life that's growing, then my question is, what are you focusing your mind on? Today, if you want to be thankful and have an attitude of gratitude, it requires you to think about the right things. And that starts with spending time with God in his word. Think about him. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Focus on it. Church, if we want to be all that God would have us to be, man, I'm going to tell you, when you begin to think on the right things, the noise, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. As I look upon him, man, it makes me more thankful because I look in his word and I see what he's done for me. I see how he's redeemed me, how he's loved me unconditionally, how he's promised to be there, never to leave me or forsake me, how he's faithful. He's faithful to me. He's consistent. Even when I fall and I fail, he doesn't turn his back on me. When I begin to look at the promises of his word and feast on the promise of his word, it changes my mind and my perspective. And then in the midst of all the drama, you can still worship the Lord. I want you guys to begin to pray. I want you all to pray. We ought to pray for everybody here in the church, but I'm just one person I'm thinking in particular. Pray, Sister Chebby. She's not here today, but her grandmother, Sister Thorpe, she's been having some health challenges. But one thing that I talk about, thinking on the right things, in the midst of her health challenges, the other day Chebby took a video of her grandmother. She was going through some stuff, and all she was saying is, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." She was quoting the word of God. In the midst of her health challenge, over and over again, she would quote the word of God. Because I'm not feeling well. I've got things going on. Listen, I may go in and out of my focus right now, but one thing I can stand on is the word of God. Think on the right things. Think on the right things. And when you think on the right things, even when you got health challenges, even when you got financial challenges, I don't have money in the bank, but I know he's my provider. He promised, my God said he'll meet all my needs. He'll supply all of my needs. If I will clothe the lilies of the field, won't I take care of you? I'm thinking on the right things that I can be thankful. God, I'm thankful for this dry season. I'm thankful in this dry season. Why? Because it teaches me to lean on you as my provider. See, today, how can I be thankful? Number one, rejoice. Step one, rejoice in one thing. Step number two, worry about nothing. Step number three, pray about everything. Step number four, thank God in all things. Finally, think about the right things. And you know what it says? I love it. You know what the pastor said? When you do that, look at what it says. If you go to in verse 7, it says this. When I choose to do that, he says, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, when I choose to do that, he said, he'll give me peace that passes understanding. You'll have peace when everybody around you is thinking, why aren't they going crazy? Why? It's because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My joy is in one thing. Why am I not going crazy? Why do I have peace that passes understanding? Because he told me I don't have to worry about anything because he's near me. And he said I could cast all my cares upon him and that I could pray about everything and I can thank him because God is working something greater in the midst of my circumstance. And I spent time in his word to help me think about the right things to give me the right perspective. Now he's giving me peace. And in the midst of that, you know what, God, again, the ultimate thing, for him to get glory and to enlarge his kingdom. Do you know people are going to be coming to you? People who got drama and know you having drama will start coming to you and say, how are you keeping it together? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about somebody. He said he will keep him in perfect peace if you keep your mind on him. Let me introduce you to a man. Like the woman at the well said, let me take you to a man who knew everything about me. When people ask you all that's going on in your life, how you had that peace, it's an opportunity for him to get glory, for him to enlarge his kingdom. Today, as I said it, listen, you want that peace. You want to be thankful. It says, listen, rejoice in the Lord always, in the Lord always. It starts with a relationship. It has to be in the Lord. And today you might be in the middle of worry. You might be finding it hard to be thankful in this season. I'm here to tell you, he said he will guard your heart and mind when in Christ Jesus. Today he's calling you to come in and be in Christ Jesus. Because through a relationship with his son Jesus Christ, listen, you can have peace with God. The reason why that is necessary, because all of us are separated from God from our own rebellion. Bible calls it sin. God wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with me. But that relationship that he designed us to be in at the beginning was broken when man chose to do our own thing. We call it sin. Sin is anything, any thought, action, word I have that is against God and his will. And all of us are sinners. Nobody's perfect. But that sin has separated us from God and has broken the peace that God wants to have with us. Today, if you want to be at peace with God, if you want to be at peace with God so he can give you the peace of God, it starts with you admitting to God that you're not perfect. The Bible calls it being a sinner. You got to believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross to pay for your sin. The Bible says without blood being shed, there could be no forgiveness of sins. You got to believe that he died, that he lived, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Finally, you must make the choice to invite him as Savior and Lord of your life, to receive his perfection and righteousness. Give him all of your mess so that he can give you his righteousness and give you eternal life. Look, if you'd like to do that today, if you're not sure where you stand in your relationship with God, your world is haywire. It's hard for you to be thankful because all of the worry and stress you have on you. He wants you to be able to cast that on him, but it starts with a relationship today. I want to invite you into that relationship. If you're not sure where you stand, if you're not sure if you have that relationship, if you're confused about, you say, listen, I want to be certain that I'm in right relationship with God today. I want to be certain that my sins are forgiven. I want you to just pray this prayer after me as we get ready to close. Can you all stand with me? I'm done. I know that was an unconventional ending, but I'm done. I'm done. I just want to invite somebody here or there, wherever you are, into a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, so that he can show you how to have peace even in the midst of turmoil, how you can give thanks even in circumstances that seem less than ideal. I'm going to pray a simple prayer of invitation, and if this expresses the desire of your heart, if you want that relationship with God today through his son, Jesus Christ, just pray it after me right where you are, whether in here or at home. Just say, dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe that you love me enough to send your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again. Today, I choose to invite you into my life to be my Savior and Lord. to forgive me of all of my sins, past, present, and future. Make me who you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. If you meant that prayer, if that prayer really truly expressed the desire of your heart, the next thing you need to do now is grow. You need to grow in a relationship with God, grow closer to Him. And it's important to you to be involved in a community of people who are trying to grow in that relationship with God. If that prayer really expressed the desire of your heart, please, we need to know about it, whether you're here, whether you're at home. This is what I want you to do, whether you're here or at home. All I want you to do, I want you to go right to our website, encounterchurch.net/NEXT. encounterchurch.net/NEXT. Next. There's a form there. On that form, you can indicate who you are, your name, and said, listen, I accepted Christ as Lord of my life today. Please fill that out and send it back. Press send so we can have someone connect with you. If that's a little more cumbersome for you, look, you can just send a text message to 301-804-2520. 301-804-2520. You can just end that text, in the message, just type the word NEXT. Type next to that number so we can send something, show you what to do next, how to grow in your relationship with God. Amen. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we are thankful, God, because you're near us. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for being patient, being long-suffering, being faithful. Lord God, we just are grateful today. We have so much to be thankful for, even, Lord, in times of turmoil, even in times, Lord God, that can be stressful around us. Help us, Lord, to cast our care upon you because you care for us. To remember, God, that you're near, to find our joy. Let our joy be rooted in one thing, and that is a relationship with you. So, Lord God, when all mess is breaking loose in our life, God, we can still stand firm because we're rooted in you. We praise you today. I pray for my brothers and sisters during this holiday season. Some of us have a hard time being thankful. There are some, God, who battle depression, who are dealing with stress. I pray, Lord God, that those people right now, those of us who are feeling that way right now, will make a decision to cast it on you, to not bear the weight, to give it to you. Help us, Lord, as soon as we begin to worry, to give it to you in prayer. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may have your seat. Before I take my seat, I want to give you guys a tool. Give us a tool. I told you gratitude is the strongest emotion. And sometimes it's helpful. You know, one of the things that helps me is writing things down. There's power in the pen. How many know there's power in the pen? A lot of times we can say something, I can read something, or I'm going to remember it in my head. Or even, look, I can say I'm going to put it in my phone. There's more power when I pick up a pen and put it on paper. Anybody else a witness to that today? Sometimes I can put it in my phone, I'll still forget it. But when I have written it down, it cements it. It's something about cementing it in my spirit. Today, what I want to encourage us to do is, listen, begin to write down something you're thankful for every day. Something you're thankful for every day. You can get one of those little composition notebooks and call it your gratitude notebook. Or get one of those, a pad, call it your gratitude notebook. Well, I would just say write one or two things every day that you're thankful for. Right? And begin to chronicle that. Some of you who are younger, I told you there's power in the pen, but there's some of y'all who are still more digital. I'm encouraging you, put it in your phone. There's a great little app called the 5-Minute Journal. 5-Minute Journal. If you go to your app store, 5-Minute Journal. This is a little 5-Minute Journal. It allows you to write just a couple of things that you're grateful for during the day. It's a gratitude journal. And you can start to chronicle the things that you've been thankful for. And you know what it does? It begins to help you develop an attitude of gratitude. To get you in a habit of looking for things to be thankful for. Amen? Let's try that this week. Let's try that. Then begin to chronicle the things that we're thankful to God for and watch Him begin to do some changes in our life. Amen? Before we close, Brother Jamal and worship team is going to come and just lead us in a time of worship and singing. But we're going to give you an opportunity to give at home while we're doing that. Look, I thank you for your gifts and your support. You can continue to give online at our website, encounterchurch.net. There's a giving tab there. You can use the Cash App. That's $ Encounter Life, the Cash App sign. And Encounter Life, you can give that way. You can also give using the Givelify app. We still allow you to do that. You can text the word give to 301-804-2520. It should send you a link to Givelify. I want to give you an opportunity to give your gifts at home and here as well. Brother Sean, Brother Derek, Brother Ethan are here. You can give in the sanctuary as well, the traditional way. Amen?